You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Bin, and it's always great to be able to open the word, and we're starting a new series. So this is a great time for you to be joining us. If this is your first time at Sun Life Church, welcome. And I hope that over the next half an hour or so, you get something out of the Word of God. We're going to spend the next 6 weeks studying just two chapters. All right, 3 weeks on chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and another 3 weeks on chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And you're asking, why two chapters only? And it's because this particular series is all on spirituals, the spirituals, or what it means to exercise in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All things Holy Spirit. And we know that this year our theme as a church is the presence of God through His Holy Spirit. And it only makes sense if I were to teach us on this, I think, controversial maybe, but important series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we'll be for the next 6 weeks, and I always encourage you to read the text before you come as we dive deeper. Okay, is that all right? Like, just a show of hands, has anyone read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 before? Good. Did anyone try reading it during the week? Great, only 3-4 people. Fantastic. Keep it up, Sun Life Church. Not... Try to read up, because it makes it easy for you to understand. Now, at Sun Life Church, we have wide series, okay, and what you call narrow series. This is more of a narrow series. In other words, we're going a bit deeper into the text, and I'm going to try to do my best to make sure that I don't confuse everyone and that it's all applicable for all us on our journey in faith. But we're going to spend a good chunk of the next month and a half just honing into chapters 12 and 14. Okay, now let me give you some context before I go into chapter 12. And by the way, this morning, I'm only going to expound 7 verses. All right, only 7 verses. But let me give you some context before we dive into those 7 verses. If you have your church app, you can open up the church app now because I've got some notes there for you to take notes if you want to take notes. All right, here we go. Around 15 to 20 years after the death of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, he heads off into the Mediterranean world, modern-day Greece, and he's proclaiming the good news. Everything about Jesus Christ, and he's planting churches, all right? He's planting churches, he's sharing the gospel, and he comes to this bustling city, the city of Corinth, which is in modern-day Greece, right? And he's preaching the gospel there, and he plants a church there. He spends 18 months in the city planting this young church. I mean, Corinth is like your Las Vegas of America. It's like your Sydney of Australia. It's like your Leaderville of Perth. It is where things are happening, right? It is amazing. We've got so many people coming through. But they even say that when Paul left after planting that church, key leaders from Jerusalem would visit this church. I mean, it was the church that you want to visit. It was a great church, by the way. The Apostle Peter would come by later on, him and his wife, I think. Possibly Barnabas came. Apollos came. Other Jerusalem leaders came just to visit this church. It was a great church. But we need to understand that the Christian faith was only around 20 years young. Very raw. It's not like Sun Life Church today where we've got like 2,000 years of rich church history, right? We've got so many years of experience. Back then, 20 years. So they were doing a lot of things that weren't really in line with the heart of God. In fact, some of the leaders there got a bit concerned. They're a bit confused. Are we allowed to do this? Are we allowed to do that? I'm seeing all these strange activities. So they begin to report this to Paul, who happens to be now in Ephesus, Rome. And Paul begins to hear all these reports that this church here, they were doing some things which were like pretty unusual. I mean, there were all these factions in the group. There was all these division. It's like, imagine Sun Life Church. We had all these different division. A group said, I will only listen to Peter's teaching. Because when Peter came to the church, his preaching was powerful. I don't want to listen to anyone else but Peter's teaching. There was one group like that. There was another group. Now, I'll only listen and I'll only follow Apollos. I don't want to hear Peter. I want to hear that new young gun preacher. I love his teaching. Another group said, no, I'm not going to listen to the original church founder, the Apostle Paul. I don't want to hear about Peter. Don't want to hear about Apollos. It's just Paul. And then there's this super spiritual group. It's like, I don't want to hear about anyone. We've got this direct contact with Jesus Christ. I only hear and I only follow Christ. So in the group, there were all these factions and all these groups happening. It was chaotic. Paul also finds a report that there was a guy in the church and he's having sexual relationship with his stepmother. And the sad thing was that the church was cheering him on. Woohoo! How sad was that? There are people in the church taking each other to court. And we're not talking about the Cambridge International Food Court. We're talking suing one another. And they were suing one another in the church. And Paul begins to hear this report. There were guys in the church getting drunk over communion. I mean, they didn't have the PG-rated grape juice that we have today, right? They were having real wine and people were fighting to drink and people were getting drunk over Holy Communion. There was teachers in the church saying, you shouldn't get married. Imagine Pastor Dexter running the marriage prep course and I come along and say, you shouldn't get married because it's sinful. Stop getting married. That was happening in the church. There were dinner parties in the church where certain people were just hogging all the food, and they had so much food for themselves, and there were poor people who had nothing. And all this report came to Paul. The original church founding pastor, his heart is broken because this church was a broken church. It was a messed up church. And it was because the Christian faith was very young, 20 years young, and people were trying to figure out, is this the right thing to do, not the right thing to do? There was a group of people in the church who claimed to be the spirituals. Oh, they would walk around, parade with all their spiritual gifts, and they apparently were so close to Jesus. And they could prove it with the ability to perform miraculous signs and they had these powers. And all these got to Paul, and Paul begins to write a letter to the Corinthians to address all these issues. And that's where we find the first letter to the Corinthians. So when we read in the Bible, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians is the first letter that Paul would write to them in response to some report that this church was really messed up. It was a broken church. That could be like me. Let's say me one day, I leave this church. I've kind of retired and I'm beginning to hear certain things and it breaks my heart as the founding pastor. I want to address that. And so we are going to focus on a group of people who claim to be the spirituals. And Paul tackles them in chapter 12, 13, and 14. 12, 13, and 14. I'm not going to spend time looking at chapter 13. I might go that at another time, but 12 and 14 is where we will be in the next 6 weeks. That's the context. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to pray now, and we're going to go deeper into the first 7 verses. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound your word. I pray that you would just help me bring clarity to Scripture, and that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you be our great teacher this morning? Oh Lord, would we not just hear your word, but will we do your word? Will we leave this morning a transform for your glory? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. The passage of study is on the screen behind me. Paul begins to tackle the spirituals, the so-called spiritual. And I believe that there are three things that Paul wants to teach them of the real spiritual, the real mature Christians. Here's the first one. The spiritual glorifies Jesus. Look in verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's addressing a problem. I don't want you to be uninformed. Clearly, if we read verse 1, it says the topic is spiritual gifts. Is that right? Or is it? Now, unfortunately, in the Greek text, the original Bible, the word gift is not there. Because the word gift, if you remember, is the word charisma or charismatic, all right? But we don't see that word there, charismata. We don't see that word there. We see the word pneumatikon. Pneumatikon sounds like the word pneuma, which is the word spirit. So when we look at the original text, Paul is actually addressing the spiritual. And it could either be, here we go, this gets confusing, it can either be in the neuter, spiritual things, such as gifts, or in the masculine, spiritual person. So what is it? A lot of translators will say, well, it's probably spiritual things. Some will say it's spiritual person. And so you've got this divide, this debate. Is Paul talking specifically about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or he's addressing people who claim to possess the gift of the Holy Spirit? You see that? So it's very confusing. At the very beginning of this section right here, I myself, at this point in time, because I may change in a year's time, leaning towards spiritual persons. I myself is leaning towards spiritual person, and here's my reason why. Chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, those four chapters, specifically the three that I mentioned, 12, 13, 14, is one block, one unit concerning the spiritual. If you go to the very end of chapter 14, verse 37, he concludes this block by saying this. Go there with me. He says, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, that's the same word, pneumatikon, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. It seems to match the theme that Paul is addressing a group of people who claims to be the spiritual. I personally feel that Paul is addressing individuals in that church who's walking around parading with their spiritual gifts, claiming to be the spiritual. And Paul wants to address them. And look what he says in verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, addressing these people, that somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. What's he saying right there? He says that, you know, before you met Jesus, you were gullible enough to be led astray to worship these idols who are mute, these idols who can't speak back. They're voiceless idols. You were gullible enough to follow them in the past. Where you are today is only by the grace of God, so don't be too prideful. It reminds me of Psalms 115. But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. See, Paul is saying, don't forget where you came from. You were so foolish enough, so gullible to be, I guess, persuaded to follow these idols who cannot even speak back. And what you have today is by the grace of God, so don't you dare be prideful. And it's so good for us as Christians today to remember where we came from. Like what we have today, the blessings of our family, the blessing of our finances or our future in Christ is only by the grace of God. Because if he never came in and saved us, we are still slave to sin. And it humbles us. It keeps us grounded. And that's what Paul's doing right here. He's saying, don't forget that your success is only by the grace of God. What you have, Church of Corinth, is only by the grace of God. What you have, Sun Life Church, your success today is only by the grace of God. So don't be prideful. Don't be arrogant. Be grounded. Be humble. That's what we see right here. But then the crux is in verse 3. Verse 3, he begins to give us an indication of what it means to be the real spiritual. Look in verse 3. He says this. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. It's confusing, but what Paul is doing is this, is that before you came to know God, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You were kind of, I guess, enslaved to these idols and you would curse Jesus. But when Jesus came and the Holy Spirit broke the chains of these voiceless idols, the Holy Spirit controlled you, controlled your voice, and you began to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. What he's saying right here is this, that true spiritual people, the mark of a spiritual person is not on the possession of spiritual gifts, but rather on the glorification of Jesus Christ. You see, the Christians here thought that they were mature because of all their giftings. They went around saying, look at me, look what I can do. I'm mature because I can heal people and I can prophesy, that I can interpret dreams and I can speak in tongues. I have words of knowledge, word of wisdom. And Paul says, no. Real spiritual people is not based on the possession of spiritual gifts, but the glorification of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit controls your mouth. That whatever you say brings glory to Jesus. Your possession means nothing if your mouth doesn't glorify Jesus. That's what he's saying right there to the Corinthians right there. It's because the Holy Spirit begins to control what you say. And we know that Jesus once said in John 16, go there with me, verse 14, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, that's me is Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus, and if the Holy Spirit is in us, surely the words that come from our mouths must glorify Jesus. And that's what Paul is doing right there. He's saying to these spirituals, you're not really spirituals. Because if you are really the spirituals, it's not about your giftings, it's about what comes out of your mouth. Do you glorify Jesus? You know, you spend time with really mature spiritual Christian, and you notice that they never say bad things about other people. They will always see the good in others. They'll never gossip. They'll never put people down. They'll always speak life. They'll always speak faith. Everything that comes from their mouths will bring glory to Jesus. That's an indication if you are the real spiritual or not. If someone comes along and they're showing off with their gifts and talents, and whether it's music, whether it's prophecy, whatever it may be, and there's no glorification of Jesus, I don't think they are the spirituals. And Paul makes it very clear, the true spiritual glorifies Jesus. Sun Life Church, if God has come into your world and there's restoration, there's a breakthrough, may you glorify Jesus with your lips. May you begin to tell the people of what he has done. May there be more gratitude and adoration and appreciation for what God has done in your lives. That's when you know you are the real spirituals. The next time you pray a prayer and God begins to answer that prayer, or may you testify of the goodness of God. May the words that come out of your lips bring glory to Jesus. Keep doing that. Keep bringing life to people in this church here. That's when you know if you are the real spiritual or not. David Pryor, he makes this comment. I quote him, "The burning desire of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus, is Paul's overall criterion on genuineness in the matter of spirituality." That's the very first thing I want to teach you. That if you claim to be a spiritual, ask yourself the question, are your lips glorifying Jesus? Amen? Here's the second thing here. Paul says that the spiritual, oh, they're gifted people. The spiritual is gifted. Look in verse 4, 5, and 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. You see that? You see, the problem with the church in Corinth, right, these spiritual, the problem was that they went around, right, showing off their gifts. And their spiritual gifts was like a badge of their pride, you know, especially the extravagant gifts. You know, the big ones like, oh, interpretations of prophecy or tongues or word of knowledge or miraculous power. So in that church, it was so messed up. You had a group of people, you know, comparing different gifts. And they thought that if I have this gift here, I'm better than you. And if I have this gift here, I'm closer to Jesus. And you have that gift there, oh, sorry for you. Oh, what do you have? You have prophecy? Oh, that's not bad. You have tongues? Oh, that's not too bad. I've got miraculous powers. Beat that. That's what we see in the Bible. They were comparing gifts. And you know what? The danger there is sometimes it happens here today. And I'm talking about church in general today. We begin to compare gifts. Is that right? Oh, look at that person. That person can sing so well like Jordan. Oh, I wish I had that gift. Oh, that lady, she's got that prophetic dancing. Oh, I love when she danced. I can't even dance. I got two left feet. You know, like you complain and you compare. Oh, he gets to be on stage and I get to be off stage. And it's a danger. It's a real danger. What does the text say? Different kinds of gifts, same Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Different kinds of workings, same God. Paul is saying this. There are many gifts out there, and they all come from the same Godhead. You notice the Trinity in there? Trinitarian theology there? Look carefully. Gifts from the Spirit, services, Kurios, Lord, Son, working, Theos, God, Father. What is Paul saying? The Godhead, God, he gives different gifts to different people, so stop comparing. That's what he's saying right here. Every one of us here, if you love the Lord, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that you are gifted. There is something that God has given to you. It doesn't mean that you've got to wait for a certain amount of years before God will give you that gift. No. You have something to offer right now. You can be a Christian for just 4 weeks or 4 decades. You could be young or old. It doesn't matter. You have something. And I'm speaking to young people right here. You guys have something to offer as well. We're all gifted. Spiritual people need to know that they are gifted, that God has something for you to bring to the table and make a difference in this church here. That's what we see right here. And I love that. And if you understand that, listen carefully, if you understand that and you know that you are gifted and you know that the same God who gives different gifts, you find yourself not comparing. You find yourself not going, oh, I wish I have that. And you're not intimidated by someone else's gift. And you're not jealous by someone else's gift because you know that all the gifts come from the same God. Different gifts, same God. That's what Paul is doing right here. And we as Christians today need to know that we are gifted and we should be comfortable with whatever gift God has given to us and we are to use it for the glory of God. I love it how Paul would say to the church in Rome, Romans 12, he says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is God saying? We're all gifted. Don't compare. Don't go, oh, I wish I'm on stage. Why did he have to give me the gift of administration? Oh, praise God, you've got the gift of administration. Because I don't think Jordan's got that gift. Ouch. Use it for the glory of God. What is God saying to you through me this morning? Stop comparing, maybe. Maybe. Stop getting jealous. Maybe. You are gifted. Maybe. It's time to use your gifting. Maybe. What is God saying to you through me this morning? And whatever it is, use it for the glory of God. If you love children, if you believe that God has given you the grace of loving kids, find Jessica Ho and get onto Sun Life Kids. I was talking to Ben Ellis during the week. If you don't know Ben works with Sun Life Kids. He's also working in a school. He said to me during the week, I'm so happy that during the week I get to work with children and on the weekend I also work with children. I said, you know why? Because that's your gift. That's not my gift. I'll struggle. But that's your gift. If your gift is in the area of pastoral care and praying for people, counseling people, encouraging people, speak to the elders. We would love to get you into that team. We would love to get you praying for people. If your gift is to reach homeless people, get part of the Agape Project. They're doing an amazing job every Monday afternoon, feeding the poor. Speak to Tiffany, speak to Nadia. Get into that area. If you've got a heart for the next gen and you want to reach youth, speak to Mike and Kate and get involved with Aramore as we bring our community program to them. Whatever it is, know that you're gifted. Don't compare, don't contrast. They say, I don't know whether it's true, they say that 20% of people in the church do 80% of the church work. I don't know whether that's true, but it sounds nice. 20% doing 80% of the work. Imagine if every one of us here did something with the gift of God. Wow, I reckon we'll be such a different church this time next year. Amen? So that's the second thing there. Paul says, the spiritual, they're gifted. Don't compare. I'll quote Spurgeon. He says this, the spiritual gifts of the church are for the building up of those who are reconciled. Whatever spiritual gifts we have, they are not our own to use as we please. They're only entrusted to us that we may employ them to help our fellow Christians. There is no person without a talent or a gift of some sort or other. We're all endowed in some degree or other, and we must give an account for that talent or that gift. Every one of us, one day, we will stand before God, and God will say, hey, you are a spiritual person. I gave you a gift. What did you do with it? The first one, remember, spiritual people glorifies Jesus. The second point, spiritual people, they're gifted. Here's the third thing that Paul says. Spiritual manifests the presence of God. That's the first thing, third thing we see right here. In verse 7, let's go there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And we stop right here. That's the end of this morning's passage. But what does Paul say right here? Look carefully. He says, to each one, in other words, each person with a gift, the manifestation of the Spirit takes place when we use that gift for the common good. Now, let me try to explain this. The word manifestation means that it's invisible and it needs to be made visible. Manifestation means you need to put something out for show. It needs to be brought out to light. It's hidden. It needs to be revealed. And the text says right here, if the church in Corinth, if all those people use their spiritual gift for the common good, God will manifest himself in the church. And that implies Sun Life Church today. If you and I use our spiritual gift for the common good, for the good of those around us, for the good of this community, the Holy Spirit, he manifests himself in this church. The text says it right there. We have the responsibility to showcase the presence of God's Spirit as we use our gift for the common good. Think about that. God would entrust you and me to reveal him to the people around us as we serve each other with our gifts. The churches that do not use the spiritual gift well and then use it for their own glory, to show off, the Spirit of God will not manifest himself. But the churches that begins to realize that, hey, I'm gifted, and I'm going to use that for the good of those around me. And it's not about me, but it's about the people around me. The Holy Spirit manifests himself. That's powerful, that God would entrust us to reveal him to the people around us. You know the devil? You know the devil every Sunday. Even right now as I preach, right now, the devil is at work here at Sun Life Church. I don't think that, oh yeah, the doors have stopped the devil in and the blood of Jesus Christ stops the devil. No. He's right here. I know that. Well, maybe not him, but his demons are here. But what he's trying to do, every Sunday, he's trying to convince you and me that church is all about us. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to convince us that we're the most important person in this building right here. That we are not here to serve people, but people should serve us. That's what he's doing right now. It's all about what can I get out of this service here. It's not what I give into the service. What can I get out of it? That's what he's doing. Oh, is Jordan and his creative team selecting my songs, the songs that I like to sing? Is Pastor Ben going to preach a good word? Because if he does it, I'm out of here. Is the kids program going to be good? Are my kids going to like the kids program? Is this church going to do whatever they need to do so that the presence of God will be manifested? That's what the devil is doing right now. But the Word of God says, no, 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 no. We manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit when we use our spiritual gift for common good. You do your part, I do my part. The Spirit of God, He shows up in a powerful, tangible, thick way. That's the Word of God right here. And I love that. Because if only half of us are doing our part, and the other half is saying, it's all about me, come and serve me, we just plateau and we just do nothing much but become like a nice group of friendly people in a club that we meet up every Sunday. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to reach the lost. I'm here to see people saved. I'm here so that you bring your friends along on a Sunday and they see the Spirit of God in action as you and I use our spiritual gift for the common good so that the Spirit of God manifests Himself in this church here. That's what we see in the text right here. We get to reveal the Holy Spirit. Imagine your friends coming here for the first time and just witnessing people serving one another. Wow. And Holy Spirit, He manifests Himself. That's when you see transformation. I saw God manifest through Ernest this morning as he stood there saying, I was messed up. As your worship leader, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I saw the tears rolling down his cheeks because God was speaking to him. And I want you to know that when we serve one another for a common good, the Spirit of God, He shows up. And let me finish with this thought. We are the body of Christ. We're not a club. This is a church. Christ died for this church here. We are to be spiritual people. We are not to be mechanical. We're not to be all about systems. And this is what you need to do. And this is when you've got to play the piano. So the ending of the message sounds good. We don't want to be like that. We want to be... I'm sorry. We want to be... If you continue on, you can play. Give me the Holy Spirit pad. Sorry, Jesus. We want to be spiritual. We want to be spiritual. And not in a freaky kind of way, because I'm going to start talking about that over the next few weeks. All right? Governed by Scripture, but we want to be spiritual. We want to lead and love people led by the Holy Spirit. We want to serve each other. That's when Holy Spirit manifests Himself. Remember, Paul is having a go at the so-called spiritual. He says, the real spiritual, oh, they glorify Jesus with their lips. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Oh, the real spiritual, oh yeah, they are gifted. You're all gifted. I'm gifted. Don't compare. Don't contrast. Don't be jealous. Stick to your lane. Go well. Go far. Go fast. And lastly, the spirituals, we manifest the presence of God as we serve each other for the common good. We do that. God's going to do an amazing thing here at Sun Life Church. Amen? So, you have homework. You have homework. Next week, I'm looking at verses 8 to 11. Only 4 verses. Yeah, I can preach a message with 4 verses. I will. Read up, okay? If you have any questions about what I've spoken the last 7 verses, you can always see me or speak to one of the pastors, one of the elders. But I want you to read up and come and hear what I have to say next week, because it starts getting pretty controversial next week, all right? Tongues and prophecies and miraculous powers and all that. You want to come back and hear what I have to say, amen? Okay, I've got one announcement to make before I pray. I'm going to wrap up. Here's the announcement here. In 5 weeks' time, Sunday the 23rd of May, so towards the end of May, we're going to change the way how we do Sunday. We're actually going to have a second service, because right now, you know, it's just packed. And what you don't know, maybe you do know, is that behind these black curtains to my right, your left, there's around 70 kids or so. There's a lot of kids there. And some of the rooms, like I was told last, we had just under 40 kids in one room. Is that right, Jess? Yeah. And it's not good. Like, you don't want kids being trampled on. It's not good. Okay, so over the last few months, we've been looking at what it looks like. So from Sunday, the 23rd of May, okay, so 5 Sundays time, we're going to have 2 services, one at 9 o'clock with a kids program, one at 10:45 with a kids program as well. You take your pick, okay? If you want to go earlier so that you can have the most of the day off, then go. Yeah, come at 9 o'clock. If you'd like to sleep in, yeah, because you've had a big Saturday night, that's fine. Come at 10:45, all right? You might have kids who play sports early in the morning, Sunday morning. Great. Once they're finished, just grab them and just ride back here and let's worship the Lord together at 10:45, all right? So we're going to do that. Over the next few weeks, I'll talk to you about what it looks like and strategies. But yeah, exciting times for our church. But it means the way we do church will be slightly different. You can't come here and go, oh yeah, I'll see you at church. Because you may not, because they might go to the other service. So church no longer becomes like, oh, it's me and my 200-300 people just singing my friends on a Sunday. No, it's going to be different services. And you may go to the same service as your friends, you may not. But that's not the end of the world. Because you know why? Because you're in small groups. Is that right? Because you're belonging to a small group. Therefore, you're going to see your friends in your small group anyways. Yeah? But during the week you come here, we're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to hear the word of God preached faithfully. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to send you off with a blessing. And we're going to do that again. And maybe we'll do a 3rd service, 4th service, whatever. But it's an exciting time. It's also a good time for us to think about serving as well. Yeah? Like you have certain giftings. Remember, number 2, the spiritual. They're gifted, right? You've got certain giftings. Maybe it's time for you to go, hey, pastor, I want to serve, because we need more people to help out with the kids' church, welcome team, logistics, you know, resetting the auditorium for the next group to come in. We need you to serve. Amen? So if you want to serve, then you can speak to myself or go to the church app. There's many opportunities for you to find a team to serve. Is that okay? Can I pray for you guys? Let's pray.